Today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
Right? And it don't try to limit him and his power by thinking like, well, he's got so many people to pray for. Right? Like, I don't even know where I'm at on the list. No, his people are the list. He knows how to pray for you specifically and individually. And he does that all the time. As he's seated next to God Almighty, your Abba, your Papa, tell me that God's not rooting for you. Tell me that he doesn't want you to make it.
It's not really a secret. All of us experience internal conflict at times, and sometimes outside pressures from the world. But did you know that Jesus is interceding on our behalf? Now, that is a humbling thought. To know that Jesus knows us so specifically that he prays for us, why wouldn't we get out of our own way and let Jesus do what he's best at? I think it's time that we let our hands off that steering wheel and we allow the Lord to drive. He'll take care of everything better than we can. This is Pastor James's message to us today. Now let's join Pastor James in the book of Romans chapter 8 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
Verse 32, here's the proof text to that. Great proclamation, because that sounds like a like one of those pie in the sky kind of things, right? Like, yeah, it sounds good, but how do we know it's true? Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? There's your proof text right there. Well, how do I know God's for me? Because his son went and died on the cross and rose from the grave 3 days later. That's how you know. But I don't feel that. Okay, cool. Your feelings aren't always going to be true to you. They're not going to reveal what's actually going on. What is true is that he died and rose again. And if he paid the greatest price, why would he not pay the rest of it? Why would he not see it through? It's like if you were to take your family on some elaborate vacation, right? Some 7-day cruise, right? You do all that stuff. You pay the tickets. You pay all the heavy price stuff up front. It's done. Then you load everybody up in the car. You come down to the Galveston port and you see that they are charging $25 to park. And then you get mad and you're like, trip's off. We're going back home. That would be insane, right? The biggest price has already been paid. Why wouldn't you see it through to the end? God paid the biggest price. His son dying and raising again 3 days later was the biggest price. Why would he not see it through to the end for you and for me? I mean, we have a really skewed vision of who God is if we think that he's like, okay, I did all the hard work. Now it's up to you to finish it. That's not how he works. But yet, that's how we work. Okay, God, thank you so much. I'll take it from here. Worst mistake you can ever make. You're not going to take it anywhere. You will end up eventually going in the opposite direction of what his will is for you. And then he'll bail you out of that because even you yourself can't get in his way. He paid the biggest price. He did all that. He's going to give you what you need to finish. Well, this is not something that speaks to like God is going to give you all everything that you want. Okay, that is not what the text says. And anybody who comes to that conclusion needs to learn how to study the Bible. Okay, because that is not what it says. It isn't like you give your life to Jesus and then he has to give you everything you want. That is not true. That's actually a false teaching. He will give you what you need because he's the good shepherd. He will provide for you what you need. And sometimes what you need isn't always what you think you want, right? Because we have ideas of like, well, I understand that most people will categorize this as a want, but for me, it's a need. And God's like, no, what you need is what I'm going to give you. And he's so good because even in the providing for us all of our needs, like he provides for us the things that we didn't even know we needed. And all of it's a blessing. And I keep quoting this verse because I really think that this verse needs to be sunk down into our hearts. But James 1:17, man, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father, Father of lights, in whom there is no shifting or variation of shadow, right? I know I butchered that, but that's pretty close though. James 1:17, every good gift comes from him. And that good gift is exactly what you need. And sometimes it is what you want. And that's beautiful. And you're like, oh, I needed it, but I also wanted it. And God's that good. He's not the curmudgeon within the sky who's like, I know you need this, and I also know you want it, so that's why I'm going to withhold it from you. And you're like, that's who does that? That's mean, right? Like, no, he's like, I know what you need, and I also know the desires of your heart. And if your desires align with my will for your life, then I'll provide for you what you need. And sometimes those two work beautifully together. He will take care of you. He will see you through to the end. Verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who's going to bring an accusation? Who's going to press charges against God's kids? Oh, there is someone, Satan. Oh, and he's got minions too. And he likes to use those guys to bring charges against God's kids. Well, we know who the judge is. The judge sitting on the throne. And you know what he does with those? He dismisses them. Because you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Even if they are true, you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have been justified. It is not that you are being justified. You have been justified. Every wrong you have done, past, present, future, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. So in the end, or when you have Satan, who is the accuser, standing before the Lord, how that works, why he lets that happen, I don't know. Right? I'd rather it not be that case. But you know what? I don't even sweat it because my lawyer is the best in the world. There's nobody. And like, bring the charges. Bring all the charges. You probably are leaving some off the list, Satan, because you don't know everything. You're not omniscient. So I probably actually have a really long list of wrongs that you're not even bringing to the table. But guess what? Covered. Forgiven. Wiped clean. The slate has been wiped clean. Who's going to bring accusations? And he's not like, this isn't Paul like being afraid of like, oh no, somebody's going to say something about me. No, he's like, I don't care. Because in Christ, man, it's been covered. It's been covered. This does not give us license to go and do what we want to do. Please understand that. We've been building up through that argument all the way from chapter one, basically, that Jesus didn't die on the cross so you could do whatever you want to do. His blood doesn't like cover all of your sins so that you can go and sin more. Okay? There should be an awakening inside of your heart and your mind where you're like, oh, that was a tremendous price he paid on my behalf. I should probably stop doing the things that caused the separation, right? So we learn. And that's why it's justification as a once and forever done act. And then that transfers you into sanctification, which is the process where you will be a knucklehead. Okay, that's a nice way of me saying that you're a sinner. You're going to sin. But can I tell you, Jesus says, clear, clean, clean. You still need to own it. You still need to repent of it because that's a relationship thing you have with him. And you should hate it. You should hate it. Whatever it is that causes, that wants to drive a wedge between you and him, we should hate those things. Sin. We should view sin how he views sin. But you need to understand, before God Almighty, you stand covered by the blood of Christ. You are forgiven. You are cleansed. You are justified. And in fact, in his eyes, as God is not subject to time, he sees the beginning to the end. He gets a bird's eye aerial of this whole parade, basically, of humanity. From the start to the finish, God sees it all. He sees it all. And so he would even recognize you as glorified. You're like, I'm not glorified right now. No, of course you're not right now, but how God sees you is perfected. It is. So you're working towards that. He's bringing you along for the ride, but you're going to make mistakes. So we don't take advantage. There's no license to sin. Okay. If you go that route, you need to repent of that and say, you know what, Lord, I want to sin less. Okay. There's this beautiful thing called the Holy Spirit. He's the third person of the triune God. He lives inside of you. One of his fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, is self-control. Tap into it. Tap into it. Ask him for it. He's like, I'll help you out. My problem is I ask for it, but then I don't really actually accept his help. Okay. I know I need it, but I also I'm pretty stubborn. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I can handle this one. I got it. And he's like, all right, I'll still be here. When you realize you don't have it, that self-control thing, I can help you out with that, right? It's a beautiful thing that God has set up for us. But when it comes to anybody who comes against you as one of his kids, people want to bring charges, press charges. The case is dismissed. The case is dismissed. You're done. You're free. You're free to go. It is God who justifies, is the answer to the question. Let them bring their charges. It's God who justifies you. Who is he who condemns? Well, we know that for those who are in Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation. But then who is he who condemns? Well, the enemy condemns. The enemy condemns, and to condemn is really to kind of like sentence you to a certain, like to punishment. And Jesus is like, I took all that for you. That's settled. That's done. So there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. There is no like punishment awaiting for you at the end of this life because Christ paid the price. So you don't have to fear God and standing before God. And I don't know, we get these weird ideas of what that's going to be like. Is that he's going to have like the Jumbotron, right? And like, well, let's watch through your life, you know, and look at all the bad stuff, right? That's what I thought when I got saved. I was like, is this true? Like, cause man, I don't want that. That doesn't sound like heaven to me. Well, it's not. Okay. Because that's not true. Because when you stand before him, that stuff doesn't exist anymore. There is no highlight reel of your life of like all the bad decisions. God's going to like, hey, let's watch through these things. I don't know where that thought came from, but I know it's a common thought because I have friends who aren't even saved who think the same thing of like, man, if I stand before God, then he's going to show all my wrongdoings and all my sins. And I'm like, where is that in the Bible? Like, I understand there's a judgment seat and, there's going to be a weighing of your works and what you did for him, but he doesn't display all your sins on some sort of heavenly jumbotron for all of, you know, the crowds who are surrounding us to like be horrified by your depravity, right? There's this idea that's not how it is because those things are covered, forgiven. So if you have that fear, let me release you from that. When you go to stand before him, there will be a judgment, but in one sense, it's a weighing of like, well, what'd you do for him? And you bring all the stuff like, I did all this for you, Lord. And he's like, well, pass it through the fire. Let's see what actually lasts. Let's see what holds up. And it may go from a mountain to a little thimble full of like, well, hey, you know, good job, right? Like, I thought I did so much more. He's like, well, you did a lot. Just, it wasn't ever really for me. It was kind of for you. So you got all your accolades on earth. You got your, you know, the pat on the back and all that stuff. You got that. But as far as what was actually, you know, stored up in heaven and everything, well, here's your small little duffel bag of whatever. I don't know how it works, but there's going to be that element, but you don't have to be afraid. And in fact, that should motivate you to be like, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to do what you've called me to do. And I want everything that I do to be unto your glory and for your honor. And it doesn't matter to me what I end up with in heaven, because the chief thing about heaven is being in his presence forever. No more sin, no more suffering, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death, no more decay, none of that stuff. So if there's something that we get, treasures in heaven, quote unquote, bonus. It's a bonus, okay? That we get Jesus, oh, that's it, man. That's it. I'll take that for eternity, for eternity. Nobody condemns. There's no condemnation for you. It says it is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God. So Christ who died, who conquered sin, conquered death, paid the price for you. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And it says that he is making intercession for us. That is, he is praying on behalf of you, praying for you nonstop. He doesn't sleep. right? And it don't try to limit him and his power by thinking like, well, he's got so many people to pray for, right? Like, I don't even know where I'm at on the list. No, his people are the list. He knows how to pray for you specifically and individually, and he does that all the time. As he's seated next to God Almighty, your Abba, your Papa, tell me that God's not rooting for you. Tell me that he doesn't want you to make it. He's like, I hope you get this, that like, man, I really want you to like embrace all that I have for you. I really want you to make it. Stop fighting me. Stop trying to control it. Stop trying to figure stuff out. Just surrender. Surrender. The best place to be is in his arms. He loves you so much. So much, man. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, right? So tribulation is something we're all going to experience. And he gives us a verse, what's it, Psalm 44:22 in a second. Our external pressure is a part of the deal. Internal conflict is a part of the deal. You're going to have those things. But what those things cannot do is they cannot separate you from the love of Christ. No matter how intense they are, whatever conflict you got going on internally, that cannot separate you from his love. Whatever pressures you're feeling externally, maybe from other people, that cannot separate you from his love. It cannot. Tribulation, distress, persecution, people like actively coming against you because you're a Christ follower. They can't harm you. They can't separate you from the love of Christ. They can't. We don't feel that as much here. Okay? The tide is turning. The tide is turning. Okay? You will, I believe, begin to feel this to a certain extent. If you're actually going to be a bold follower of Jesus, our world is changing. Our world is changing. And as tolerant as our world is, it is completely intolerant to those who call upon the name of Jesus. Even in the great states of the United States of America. For our brothers and sisters on the other side of the pond, they feel this. But you know what? For them, if you need a good book to read that addresses some of this, Fox's Book of Martyrs is a beautiful book that highlights brothers and sisters who were slaughtered for their faith, their unwavering faith. And for them, they're like, you know what? Just kind of like Paul would say, it's better. Like, you take my life. You think you're harming me? You're actually put me in a better place. And that's a mindset that is really hard, especially for Westerners to grab a hold of, right? Because we've been conditioned that this life is everything, that the American dream is everything, that you can have heaven right here on earth in one sense by all your hard work and your effort and the nice little house and the white picket fence and your 2.5 kids. I don't even know how that works, but whatever, like, That is everything. It's a lie. It's a lie. I mean, the enemy would like you to believe that because he really wants you to get really comfortable. And while you have brothers and sisters who are like, man, if I even own a Bible, they're going to kill me. Yeah. Persecution can't separate you from the love of Christ. It can't. And I don't want to make little of, because some of you do face persecution from family members. So I'm not belittling that at all. That's a difficult thing, okay? So I have compassion for you. I understand that. That's a hard thing. They may not be coming at you with machetes, but they're coming at you with their little jabs, their verbal jabs, right? Or the fact that they don't even talk to you anymore, right? That they cut you out of their life completely. That's hard. That's hard. And if it's because you are a Christ follower, then yes, that is an element of persecution, okay? But even that can't separate you from his love. Nothing on this list is easy. Please understand that. Okay. It's not like Paul's like, yeah, get over it. You know, whatever, right? Like, suck it up, buttercup. Like, life's hard, you know, but Jesus is better and, you know, just get over it. He's saying like, this is difficult. I understand it, but guess what? We win in the end. So we can handle this right now because we know the end result. So persecution can't do it. Tribulation can't do it. Distress and all that good stuff. Famine. Famine cannot separate you from the love of Christ. Famine can also, it can be translated into hunger. Okay. So maybe you're like, you're just stressing financially. right? Provision-wise. Let's call famine provision. Well, your lack of provision, can that separate you from the love of Christ? No, it can't. Because I'll remind you, Psalm 23 says that he's the good shepherd, right? Like, he's in that story, you and I are not the shepherd. We're the sheep. We're always the sheep, okay? He knows how to take care of his sheep. He is the good shepherd. He's not just a good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the best shepherd. He knows how to, like, whatever need you have, he can address that. So you might be stressing that, like, I think you forgot about me because, you know, the finances are getting pretty tight in this best economy we've ever been in, is what they say. Like, well, it is it because, like, man, my grocery and utility bill is saying something totally different. But you know what? None of that can separate us from the love of Christ. I mean, it gets scary. Have you ever been there before? And but he knows how to come through, man. The right time, he can send somebody into your life and be like, oh, hey, I just want to bless you. I just want to bless you. I don't know, the Lord put you on my heart. I want to bless you. I want to hook you up. And you're just like, I was down to my last nickel, you know, or whatever, you know, and like, how are we going to pay this? How are we going to get that? We've been there so many times. I'm sure you've experienced that to a certain degree. And then somehow, some way, it's the Lord who comes along and reminds you, like, hey, listen, I got you. This can't separate us. This, don't even worry about this thing. Nakedness, that's another part of that provision. He's going to provide for you the things that you need. Peril, sword. Sword is in here, it's an instrument of execution. So if your life is on the line, like somebody's looking to take you out, the Lord knows how to take care of you. As it is written, verse 36, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. This is just a reminder that hardship has always been the experience of God's faithful followers. You're not doing something wrong if you're going through hardship, okay? Don't let the enemy whisper in your ear like, you've messed up. Because if you were doing it right, you wouldn't be going through this difficult time right now. That's the enemy, okay? That is him. When the Lord's like, I told you it was going to happen. I'm trying to tell you that you can expect hardships. And that's not like flippant. That's just him saying, from the start to the finish, I told you this life was going to throw you some difficulties. But even in the midst of difficulties, I'm there with you. He says it to his disciples, and lo, I am with you until the very end. To the very end. What does the very end mean in the Greek? Well, the end, okay? Like, you don't have to be a scholar to figure that one out. Like, from this, what he starts, he finishes. And what he started with you, he is faithful to complete with you. He will see it through. He's not going to abandon you. And even though this life is going to throw you challenging things, he will be with you step for step through every valley of the shadow of death. He will be with you. In fact, he's the one who leads you through that thing. He's not like, looks too scary for me. I'll see you on the other side, right? And you're like, oh no, okay. That's sometimes how it feels if we're honest, right? We're like, hello, Lord, shepherd, where are you, right? He's like, no, I haven't left you. I'm here. Verse 37, he says, yeah, in all these things. So all of this stuff, there's no condemnation. There's no charges to be brought against you. There's no separation. There's none of these things can separate you. You have security in Christ Jesus. Yet in all these things, we, the sheep, okay, are more than conquerors. Sheep conquer? Come on, right? Like, have you ever been around sheep?
Have you heard these words before? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. These are the words found in Romans 12:2. Simply put, don't do as the world does, do as Jesus does. As you sacrifice doing life the way the world tells you to, and you focus on how God says to do things, you start to look and live more and more like Jesus. And as the verse states, your life will be a living testament to what's good and acceptable and perfect. We hope that today's word brought some encouragement to your soul, and it deepened your faith in Jesus. If today's message raised some questions for you, please reach out to us by going to breadforthebroken.com. Clicking on the contact tab at the top of the page will get you started on a line of communication with us. We look forward to hearing from you. In case you missed it, it was breadforthebroken.com. Bread for the Broken with Pastor James Grizzle comes out of Calvary Galveston, a church that's dedicated to speaking the name of Jesus into every life that tunes into this radio broadcast. If you're not in the area to spend time with us on Sunday mornings, would you go to breadforthebroken.com to live stream our service? We promise your faith will grow. While you're there, and if the Lord leads you to do so, there's a specific spot for donations of any size. We're so grateful that you took the time to be with us today. Thanks for listening, and we trust that you'll be back for more here on Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of you, man.